Hey guys, Coach Christy here. It's been a while since I chatted with my computer to record a podcast, but I had a topic on my brain today. So these things for me are pretty organic. I don't schedule them or plan them out. I just occasionally have something rolling around in my brain and saying it out loud in a way that I hope is helpful to others. Also helps me. So what I want to talk about today is a concept around resilience and weave in there some ideas around generous assumptions. You know, I've had coaches in my life that I would literally like do drills for until I puked. My little league softball coach was amazing that way. He and his wife, they were coaches, cared deeply for our team, and we had a strong bond with them. There was a great deal of affection shared between us, but at the same time, you know, he coached us. We gained skill in the sport because we did drills and you know, we ran plays and all of those things. It wasn't always fun, and sometimes it was really, really hard. But I always felt good about it because I knew that we had a good relationship. It was fun. Ultimately, it was fun, right? There, not every little piece of it was fun, but for the most part, those two coaches instilled in me a strong passion for playing softball. I couldn't wait for softball to season to start every summer. Softball and horses, that's all I cared about until it was about 13 or 14, then, you know, I wasn't eligible for Little League anymore and had no other choice but to move up to JV softball. And that coach did not like me. She, you know, I played catcher the whole time in Little League softball. I don't know how I ended up in that position other than I had a really strong arm. Like I could throw a girl out at second base from like second grade. From my knees. I could get the ball fast and hard to second base from my knees from about the age of 8 or 9. So I had a strong arm. So that's probably why I ended up in the role of pitcher. And then I also was a bossy little kid. You know, I had strong leadership skills. And the catcher, a lot of people think the pitcher is the leader of the team, but usually the catcher is the leader, you know, sort of not official team leader. So spent my whole Little League career playing catcher. I bounced around in a couple other positions, third base and shortstop, but that was about it, mostly catcher. So when I went to JV, the coach already had her favorite catcher, and so I sat the bench a lot. And it wasn't that the catcher she had wasn't good. She was amazing, but I never got a shot. And because right away I got the sense from her that she didn't like me, that would cause me to feel insecure about my skills. And so I didn't often play as well as the other catcher. I'd lost my mojo. And a lot of it, I feel like, had to do with not feeling any affection between me and the coach. So, you know, it got to a spot where I kept playing softball until I graduated high school. But my heart wasn't in it. It wasn't fun anymore. I don't even know why I kept playing. I think I kept hoping that I would figure it out or somehow I'd get better and she would let me play. But it never happened. I put in bare minimal effort for her. And, you know, the game lost its joy. And, you know, I've had other mentors, coaches, instructors that, you know, have the same role. I have been a student for Linda Pirelli since 2004. My first lesson with her was in 2004. And I have felt uncomfortable and pushed in our lessons and time together. There have been many times where I felt like I had already learned what I came to her to learn and I was ready to coast for the rest of our time together. And she would push me, you know, to seek out the next thing I needed to work on. And, you know, it's not that every single moment together it's been fun. Learning isn't always fun. In fact, the nervous system needs to get uncomfortable in order for it to look for new neural pathways, right? So discomfort is part of the process. And, you know, people can wire themselves to appreciate or even like the discomfort, but the discomfort is there nonetheless. So, you know, it's really important, I think, that if you put yourself in a learning situation and you hire a coach, that you find a way to first be resilient as a student, and that if your coach equally celebrates your successes with you as he or she does to push you to be better, then you found yourself a good one, right? Here's what I don't recommend you tolerate from a coach: that you feel like no matter what you do, you can't possibly be doing it right, that everything you do is wrong, and no matter how hard you try, there is no positive reinforcement, right? There's no compliments, there's no atta girls or atta boys, there's no sense of success in any way whatsoever. And for me as a coach, if I have someone whom I'm trying to help that I feel like I've never had an opportunity to praise them, that's on me. That means I am failing as your instructor, as your coach, and that I need to figure out why. But so long as there's some, you know, praising and celebrating, all the bits in between that where it gets uncomfortable, it's important for us as students then to recognize that that's part of the process. Embrace it. Don't you know, blame your instructor because they didn't praise you for something that wasn't praiseable. So that's where the generous assumptions come in, that, you know, as long as there's the instructor's not using defamatory or, you know, degrading or demoralizing language, right? They're not calling you names or telling you that you'll never get it, or saying things like, I'm just waiting for you to put your savvy pants on, Christy. That was not a helpful teaching tool that has been used with me. Or another one is sarcasm. Not a fan. I don't use sarcasm in my day-to-day conversation, let alone as a teacher, right? Another disempowering coach would often sing, it ain't easy being green. And, you know, that's a direct dig to whoever that person was trying to guide. So as long as those things aren't being used, right, as long as your coach isn't using any kind of aggressive, you know, degrading, demoralizing language, and that there are moments in there where you have success and that they celebrate those with you, they get excited with you, then you could extend them a little bit of support too by offering some generous assumptions, right? In those moments where, you know, for me, I'm a very direct person. I have a tendency to be a little bit blunt, more than a little bit, I suppose. And that's in my nature, and I try really hard to soften it when I can, but oftentimes the situation doesn't allow for that very easily, and, you know, time is usually the deciding factor there as to whether or not, you know, we can sort of roundabout come around to the feedback or just say it outright. It has to do with how much time I have. So, there you go, have it, guys. Like one of the ingredients I'm working on all the time when I'm getting feedback from someone I trust and respect is an ability to be resilient, to be able to hear their feedback from the place that they intended versus the shit I make up in my head about my not good enough story. All right. We all have that little gremlin in our head that tells us we're not good enough, and our success as a student, coach, in anything really, has to do with how much we listen to that little asshole. So, you know, don't listen to the gremlin. You're plenty good enough. I promise you, if I'm your coach, I'm doing my very best I'm doing my very best to empower you, which means I'm not going to puppeteer you. This is why I very rarely give private lessons, because it's really difficult for me to have the self-control it takes to not puppeteer a student in a private lesson. It's so much easier to just take your horse for you, fix it, and then give him back to you. And for the lesson, you'll feel successful. But the results I produce in your lesson are often either, one, not transferable because you and I are such different people, and so your horse is going to respond to you differently than me, or if I do manage to get the horse to transfer it to you in the lesson, that transfer doesn't stick unless you continue to do what I did in that lesson to establish that behavior. And if I did it for you, you won't know how to do that, okay? So I don't do private lessons, and I also don't do in live video coaching. I prefer much more for you to send me video so that I can coach it, voiceover coach it, and send it back to you, because that time it takes to get the video from your camera onto a computer, into some kind of link, YouTube usually, email it to me with an explanation of what you're doing and what your goal was, and then for me to download it, voiceover coach it, re-upload it, and send you an email back. All that space in there allows for the nervous system to reset, and it allows for most students to be more ready to not only hear but implement the feedback. More times than not, in-person teaching has a lot of trying to help nervous systems get back to neutral, right? To both the human and the horse. Like there has to be moments where we're expanding and getting uncomfortable, or else we won't make progress. But also somewhere we have to get good at returning to neutral, hitting the reset button. So do what you got to do. There's lots of resources out there to learn how to be more resilient, to, you know, to be the most successful student that you possibly can be. You're going to have to extend some generous assumptions around your horse, but also your instructor's intentions, right? Like, what are they trying to do, and do they really care? As long as they're demonstrating that they really care, then you should be in pretty good shape. If they say something to you like, you just need to learn to not take it so personally, that's bullshit, all right? That's not a good coach. That's not a good instructor. That's someone who's not taking personal responsibility for their communication skills and are just putting it on you to put up with their nonsense, all right? But if they celebrate equally, and in my case, I think more than, then they, you know, criticize or offer a suggestion, then you probably found yourself a pretty good one. Hey guys, I'm Coach Christy, and if you got anything at all out of this podcast, I sure would appreciate it if you would take the time to like, rate, comment, review, and share across any and all platforms that you catch me on. I sure would love to grow my audience, and I would consider it a close personal favor. Thank you so much for listening to me today, and I hope you have a great day. Bye.